we've got definitely one expert in the room here. This is Jamie. I'll introduce myself first.
Hi.
My name is Sarah Chambers, and I'm Director of Support at Kayako. You can always tweet me at Sarah Lee Yoga.
I'm Jamie Edwards. I'm a co-founder of Kayako. I wouldn't call myself an expert. I think I'm sat next to the one expert in the room. I've been supporting customers and building customer support software for many, many years. And I'm really looking forward to gazing into our crystal ball for 2016.
Yeah, it's been some really exciting research that we've done. Just to tell you a little bit more about us, Kayako, we are a customer support platform, and we help businesses get better at delivering amazing customer service. We're used by 35,000 organizations and to deliver support to millions of customers worldwide. You can sign up for your 30-day free trial at kayako.com. If you have any questions about us, you can always reach us on Twitter as well or through kayako.com. If you're interested in learning more about the research report that we will be speaking on today, you can go to learn.kayako.com/stateoftheprofession2016 and download the full report. There's tons of graphs and more data in there, so definitely recommend checking it out. And we'll send that out after the webinar as well, so don't worry too much about copying down the link. All right, let's get started.
So the State of the Profession report for 2016 is packed full of interesting insights, and it was really hard work. Pulling out our favourite ones to talk about in this webinar. But we think we've done a good job. We'll be covering burnout, customer retention, and how that's becoming an increasing business priority, customer effort, and what is customer effort, and how businesses are prioritising minimising that, and what to do about multi-channel support and how to do it better.
Yeah, great. So let's get started talking a little bit about burnout. So while we were talking to the customer support professionals who replied to our questions, they had talked a lot about how burnout was going to become more of an issue, that they were seeing it already. One of our stats that we found was that support employees are, on average, 6.8% less satisfied with their job than when they were started working there.
That's a shame.
Which is, yeah.
You
want to get more satisfied with your job,
exactly.
not less. And other things like 73% of support professionals found that managing time and workload was the most challenging aspects of their job. And finally, 45% of support professionals found maintaining or improving team morale to be a challenge.
Doesn't make for good reading, does it?
No, it's kind of depressing.
I know everything's stacked against people in customer-facing roles. Their job is getting harder. It's getting a lot more taxing, which is going to increase burnout unless the businesses do prioritize having things in place to mitigate burnout, create a good work environment, and support their support teams.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think? It sounds like multi-channel is one of the things that contribute to this burnout. How do you think that's impacting support employees?
Yeah, certainly. I think multi-channel support and the increasing multi-channelness of support is contributing a lot to the mental burnout of customer support agents, customer advocates. And I think that's for a few reasons. Literally the amount of channel switching that a support agent needs to do. And that isn't just switching between apps, social networks, platforms, whatever they may be using to communicate with their customers, but also switching the context, the personality, the tone they're talking to their customers in. It's very, very different supporting a customer over Twitter and having a conversation there as it is by email, which would tend to be longer form, different tone of personality. And if you're switching these channels and contexts every 15 minutes or so, that's going to get tiring.
Yeah, it gets your brain spinning in a whole bunch of different directions.
Recipe for brain frazzle.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it more difficult to find a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And rhythm is so important throughout the workday. Throughout your on-the-floor sessions, your support sessions, whatever they may be, that's so important to mitigating burnout. And if you don't have that rhythm, it's just going to be an uphill struggle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this was a really common theme in some 2016 predictions we did. So we asked a number of professionals in the industry, managers, support agents, people from sales, customer success, all kinds, what they predict for 2016. And burnout and preventing burnout and the importance of doing that was one of the biggest themes which came out. So it's really interesting how everyone is in tune with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other side that constantly comes up when I talk to people who work in support is the emotional side of burnout as well. Because customers are expecting a lot more, they tend to get quite frustrated very easily because they're switching channels as well. And so support agents have to be able to deal with that and have a lot of self-care in place. So
yeah,
taking care of themselves as well.
Taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, we were talking about mental burnout at the start, and I'd call that empathy burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Only got a limited supply of empathy in a day.
There's a great article on that on Forbes, I believe, where you have an empathy quota.
I do remember that.
So if
that's
you used up all your empathy quota during the day dealing with customers and you go home,
then what are you left?
Yeah, your
what
partner
are you
or your
on?
Friends, and you say, I don't want to hear about your problems anymore. That's what I did all day.
They're getting the very worst of you.
Yeah.
But it's so true. It's mentally taxing, and supporting customers and empathizing with them is also emotionally taxing.
Absolutely, yeah. So
I understand you're doing interesting things with our support team to counterbalance burnout. What are some of those things?
Well, we're trying our very best because we have recognized that it's an issue for support professionals. One of my favorite things that we started this year is 20% time. It's not necessarily always 20%, depending on the load, but it gives...
Average 20%.
But it gives our agents a chance to work on projects that are really close to their own skills and their own career growth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we've got people working on learning APIs, they're building dashboards, they're doing customer success initiatives, working with churn, all sorts of really interesting things, learning about Amazon Web Services, and the time that they get to take away from the floor means that they're better trained to help our customers, and they're better equipped for their own role. But it also means that they get to turn off their brain a little bit from that empathy-driven
exactly.
job all the time.
And what a great way to top up your empathy quota, your mental quota, by working on something that's yours,
absolutely.
Completely yours.
Yes.
You've designed it, it's your project, it's your baby,
mm-hmm.
you see it shipped out.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah. Another thing that we like to do is we're a big fan of the support community here at Krakow. So we're actually doing our very first Indian customer support meetup. We were founded in India and in Jalandhar, which is about a 5-hour train ride away from Delhi.
Yeah, it's famous for making cricket bats and baseballs,
Not
for supporting customers.
Not for supporting customers, but a couple of our team from the support team in Jalandhar is going to Delhi this weekend, meeting with some other industry professionals to talk about what supporting people is all about and really get that buzz that you get from talking about what you do all day from people who understand it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think for so long that sense of having a support group, a support team has been missing.
Mm.
It's a place to vent, it's a place to get ideas, it's a place to top up the empathy again, that other people that feel the same way about their work and are facing the same challenge as you are.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right. So second finding that we found was customer retention and onboarding will become more of a priority in 2016.
Totally. This is one which is close to Kaka's heart as a business. We're a subscription software company. And I think like all subscription businesses, we really feel the pain, the business pain of losing customers. So we do everything we can to retain them. And we invest really hard in things like customer success, onboarding, retention, and making sure our customers are successful with our product. Because it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot easier to retain customers than it is to acquire them. And that doesn't just apply to subscription businesses. I mean, winning customers and keeping them is getting more difficult across the board. So I think it's natural that this is becoming an increasing priority, and also natural that most customer-facing roles are expected to participate in retaining customers,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't just a siloed function, whether it's called account management or traditional customer success,
yeah.
if you can call that traditional.
Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes from Lincoln Murphy is, imagine if you never sold to another customer again, and what would you do to maintain all of the customers that you have right now?
Yeah.
You would rely so heavily on your customer support team to make sure that all of their paths are smooth and easy and that they stay with you for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this is great news for people who are looking to build a lifetime career in customer support.
Absolutely.
And it's great news because historically, it's fair to say, and actually I think it's fair to say today, for the majority of commercially driven businesses, customer service, customer support is treated like a cost center.
Absolutely.
It's an efficiency center. It's something you don't want to spend money on. And every dollar you don't spend is considered a win. And all of the metrics and measurements and attitudes and the culture of the business and culture of support, when you take that business priority, the attitude shapes in such a negative way.
Absolutely.
But we're starting to see that reverse.
Yeah, you're starting to see investments in C-suite level executives as well, having that chief customer officer position come in, whose entire role is to just unite the business around customer retention and customer loyalty and lifetime value.
I did something interesting the other day. I typed in chief customer officer into LinkedIn last week.
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds of results. I did the same thing 2 years ago, and I got barely any. I got the likes of Amazon and other really high-profile companies, Zappos maybe, who were really at the forefront of doing this. That's great to see.
Yeah, you can see that representation at the board level. So, wonderful. And great to hear for customer support people that there is that path. If they do want to become people managers and move up, they do have that career path.
It's not just a stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure. So the third one, the third insight was that customer effort will be prioritized over customer delight.
This is one of my favorites because it's very, very nuanced. There's two questions there. What is customer effort and what is customer delight? And that depends completely on your business and your audience and the product you're selling. And I know there's oodles and oodles and oodles of articles out there about how to delight your customers, go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I find that just isn't applicable in a generic sense.
Right. And actually, one of the stats from the report was that 41% of customer support professionals found that delivering happiness wasn't even that challenging.
That's interesting.
It's not even that difficult. Of course we do that. We're friendly, we're happy, easy. That's
exactly.
Step number one.
And there's, I think, understanding the points at which your customers encounter friction or roadblocks and empowering your team to help the customer overcome them is going to be way more important than what people have traditionally referred to as delight. So, I mean, one of the most common stories that gets wheeled out when we're talking about customer delight, I think it's Rackspace sending over some pizzas to a team who are waiting on Rackspace to turn around some technical.
Or the customer that got off a plane and had a steak waiting for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are great, really awesome.
They're more PR.
PR, exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. PR and marketing activities.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about them. Your customers will talk about them. It adds to your brand affinity and value for sure, but it's not scalable. And there's a lot to be said for meeting your customers' expectations and making sure their path to getting success with your product or your service or whatever it is a clear and smooth one. That's customer delight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so nuanced. You really have to understand your customer, be on top of that feedback, ensure everyone is equipped to get deep into that feedback to understand what is driving value for the customers. For you to then craft your own customer delight.
Yeah, you've seen a lot more work where customer support agents are empowered to talk to their product team to pass on that feedback. And
that's right.
To say, look, we're getting this many cases about this one piece of the dashboard. We've got to fix this.
Mm.
And that isn't part of the traditional customer support role.
No, definitely not.
But it's something that we're seeing emerge more and more, where it's not just about presenting everything with a smile and being a shield for everything.
This is the thing.
So
I've got a note down here, which is mini product managers.
Yeah.
And I guess for a product company, certainly at Kanako, we're trying to nurture our support team to be mini product managers so that they're able not just to listen to customer feedback, but dig a little bit deeper to understand what's driving that feedback. And I think that speaks to the increasing importance of or the reemergence of importance on hard skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
To being a successful customer advocate, customer rep.
Mm-hmm. Making things as easy as possible
and
engineering the experience so that even if something isn't that easy, you make it seem easy to the customer.
Exactly.
Oh, all we have to do is I'm going to do this, and this, and then you're ready to go. And those aren't traditional skills, and they're something that are going to become even more important in 2016.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. So
on to the next one.
Multi-channel support is on the horizon and support needs to get ready.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's just like my nightmares.
Your nightmares. Is this what keeps you up at night?
Yeah. How do we roll out more channels?
So I think to an extent, I think most businesses, especially digital first businesses or digitally connected businesses, they're already offering multi-channel support to their customers. But I think the how they're doing that is compromising their level of service. It's probably costing them more money and more heartache than it needs to.
Yeah.
And it's probably resulting in a worse customer experience.
Absolutely.
Another really common theme we were able to pluck out of those 2016 predictions we did, which you can read in detail on our blog, was the importance of unifying these channels.
Mm.
So great, we're talking to our customers over Twitter, email, phone, live chat, but is the customer truly able to take that conversation over those channels seamlessly?
Mm-hmm.
And
or are
ensure
they getting four different answers over four
exactly,
different channels?
Yeah. Or four different people, or even worse, four different people who aren't prepared or informed about what's gone on
absolutely
so far.
Mm. I think one of the findings was that directors and VPs see this more of a challenge than customers or than agents do.
That's
right now.
Interesting.
So the more senior you get, the more challenging it gets because you see the disaster happening over a wide scale instead of just seeing the one-off customer interactions. So
definitely.
It's definitely being part of it.
I wonder if that speaks to sort of the current setup a lot of businesses have found themselves in, where they have a social customer service team.
Yeah, who uses one tool.
Exactly, yeah. And an email customer service team. So, I mean, of course, once you're in the trenches, you're not going to be able to step out and understand the pains of multi-channel customer support if you're stuck in one channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's why we see it's those directors, VPs, maybe managers who are able to take a more holistic look and see the pains of not unifying those channels.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think support teams can prepare for this kind of multi-channel experience that's coming to them?
I think there's certainly things the individual can do to prepare and be a great customer advocate across any channels, but it has to start with the right business and operational setup. If you're going to build out your support team with the social customer service team, the email team, the phone team, then regardless of how good your customer advocates are, your customer reps are, you're not going to achieve that seamless, unified channel, cross-channel experience.
Absolutely. It's going to lead to more and more burnout.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Just to wrap it all up before we get to questions, make sure you add those in either the GoToWebinar control panel or tweet us at #SOP16. What would be your three big tips to cope with all these upcoming changes?
Three big tips. Okay.
You didn't prepare for this at all. This is winging it.
Completely dry. So I think, continuing what I was just saying, it's got to start with the business priority.
Mm-hmm.
Or more accurately, business buy-in, getting business buy-in that this is important, whether it's investing in the team to avoid burnout, whether it's investing in your tools and applications and systems to make sure that you can read from the same page, speak from the same customer history, manage that conversation across multiple channels smoothly. In fact, there's a great blog post. I think it's the third time I've promoted our blog, but I think I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, none of them are your own posts. So
they're not my own posts, so yeah. That's fine. But someone from our team, James, he wrote a brilliant blog post. I think the title is on the lines of how to sell better customer service to your board. And that's about a 10-minute read, and it's full of great tips in terms of building the case for business buying, business investment, better customer service. I think number two would be investing in the team.
Mm-hmm.
So training, support, and most importantly, making sure you've got the operational setup to avoid or mitigate against burnout. So whether that's things like 20% time, better training for your managers to make sure your people management is on point, people are tuned into spotting burnout.
Flexibility,
exactly.
Time off policy. That kind of
thing. Time off policy, solid vacation policy, making sure your team are taking vacation. I mean,
yeah.
That's important. And then lastly, the right tools, especially when it comes down to unifying your customers' data, their history, their conversations, their channels. You've got to have the right tools that are plugging into these channels so that the agents, the advocates, they're equipped to deliver the best possible experience to the customer regardless of how the conversation starts or where it starts. So business buy-in, investing in teams, tools.
Absolutely. Three super important things to get ready for 2016.
Yes.
All right, questions. One of them is specific to Kayako, which, you know what, we're probably, to talk a little bit more about your needs, I'm just going to email you afterwards, just so that it's really specific for you. But and another question I had on Twitter, well, it wasn't really a question, but somebody brought up a good point. How do you so often jumping into all of the multi-channels all of the time, mm-hmm. having seven different channels that you can't fully support very well is a mistake that people make. How do you balance the channels that you should have versus the channels that you're prepared to have or that you can support?
So I think the end goal is being where your customer is, mm-hmm. and the channels most of your customers are on. But you have to balance that with reality. So I mean if you are not set up operationally, if you don't have the right sort of culture or training to adopt and interact with customers over a particular channel, you probably shouldn't do it, and you right. probably should hold off a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use Twitter again as a really good example of a very specific and different cultural connection you need to your customer and that network
yeah.
to be able to deliver a good customer experience. I mean, I'm sure we've all engaged with a big corporate over Twitter who's kind of taken their traditional, perhaps stuffy support experience and tone of voice straight onto Twitter, and it just ends up like a sore thumb. Conversely, I'm sure we're all aware of the corporates that have really been able to nail this social customer service, getting the right tone of voice, factoring in emojis, GIFs, really being plugged in culturally to their customer. Yeah. Just as well as being able to solve their problems.
Yeah. I think it really does depend on your customer. Like when I was at Hootsuite, if we didn't get involved on social customer support, we were a social media company. We would just be missing 70% of the conversation about our product.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely a necessity for us. But on the other hand, phone support probably wasn't that necessary because there's no real social media emergencies. Mm-hmm. Like you never want to be like, oh my God, my tweet's not going out. I need to call someone right now. But working at a payment company, absolutely, you need to invest in that phone support because if credit cards aren't going through, there's no
people need to speak to someone right
yeah.
there and then.
Yeah.
So that's interesting about your Hootsuite story. So did many customers take you up on the phone support option?
We never had it.
Oh, you never had
never
it?
Had it. Yeah. Okay. And we never really got asked about that much. Really.
That's interesting. Yeah, so that speaks to that where your customers are. As long as you're there where your customers are on their channels, perfect.
Yeah. Jennifer on GoToWebinar asks, how do you allow 20% well-balancing workloads? Oh, that's a good question.
this is one Sarah's been working through for the last few months.
Yeah, so it's been a very gradual process for us. It started off just like a couple hours here and there when we had less volume, when, you know, something happened that gave us an opportunity to step away from the help desk. That really gave us the opening. And actually, we found as we were investing more time in these projects, things like self-service, things like better training, creating macros, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
we actually found that it helped us be more efficient. And so after we've started this 20% time, our agents are actually answering more cases in less amount of time.
So it's kind of like a feedback loop where...
Yeah.
Starting off the 20% time with just a few hours, eventually open up the 20% time.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the reason we were allowed to do that is that, they are definitely projects that are driven by the advocates.
Mm-hmm.
They're all focused around pain points of our customer as well. Things like creating testing tools for our download customers that were a challenge for the advocates, but also helped our customers and helped make us better as a support team.
That's
so
awesome.
It was
yeah.
a little painful to begin with, definitely.
I think what I really liked about the way you and the team approached that was finding that minimum viable first step.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was just opening up with a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You don't need to go and start off with that Friday dedicated to
right.
your projects. I guess it becomes more difficult if you're starting off without 20% time and you've got a bigger team. And I'd suggest that one of the ways you can more easily get started with it is having a good handle on your metrics and
mm-hmm.
your loading and understanding what your team and agent loading looks like.
Yeah.
And then you can you can plan how to start bringing in that 20% time, where it's going to fall.
Actually, we've got a resource up on the Kyoko blog called the Support Hiring Model Worksheet. Catchy title. But you basically plug in your metrics of how long it takes you to deal with cases now, how many you get, how many agents you have, how much you're expecting to grow over the next few months, and it calculates your efficiency and how many agents you actually need to hire in order to get to that 20%
off. That's perfect. That is a really good resource. And I think one of our most popular.
Yeah.
And that's the fourth category resource we've created. I'm going to cap it at five, I promise.
Yeah, fair enough. And then the last question we'll take is, what will be the challenge for Kyoko in 2016? Our biggest challenge?
I guess that is a big question. I think for us, our biggest challenge is going to be multi-channel customer service.
Yeah.
So we do some Twitter support, we do some phone support, we're primarily email.
Mm-hmm.
Chat. And chat, of course. But we're not where we need to be in terms of availability.
Yeah.
And how we ramp that up, how we staff for it, how we manage availability, how we do that across time zones and geographies, it's going to be a big, big challenge.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. But we've got the right person to do it.
Yeah, we'll see. So that's all of our questions. If you do have any more, please do get in touch with us on Twitter. You can also chat with our agents on kyoko.com. They love to talk about customer support too. And thanks so much. The recording will be emailed out to everyone in the next couple of days. And thank you again so much. And thanks,
Tim. That's great. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.